You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris, and joining me today on The Breakfast Grill is Nora Abdulmanaf, the Group Chief Human Capital Officer for the Maybank Group. She is responsible for all aspects of people, work, climate and performance of the biggest bank in Malaysia by market cap. She has to think about and plan the training and development of more than 45,000 employees spread across 400 branches nationwide. That is a huge task to ask of anyone. Let's find out how she does it. Good morning, Nora. Welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you for having me.
I'd like to start, Nora, with the fact that you've been the Group Chief Human Capital Officer of Maybank since September 2008.
That's right.
And that was the start of Maybank's transformation program, Leap 30. Mm-hmm. Now, it's been 9 years. From a people performance point of view, walk me through what you've seen changed in these years.
From a people perspective and performance perspective, I think it's very clear that we achieved our highest ever profit in 2010, which is just a few years since, you know, from the start of the transformation. Now, it definitely wasn't easy, but it's about channeling existing strengths and realizing existing potentials. And that required a lot of not just intellect and you know, good plans and strategy, but also, I may be sounding a little blue skies here, but a lot of EQ, a lot of emotional buy-in.
On you and your team's part.
That's right. And getting the 46,000, 45,000 people mm-hmm. to rally behind the plan and, you know, what needed to be done. So it was really about getting intentions aligned and channeling the existing strengths.
Right. So are you no longer in transformation mode? The bank has achieved what it wants to achieve? Would you say that?
I think we will never, ever be. One of the things that I'm very proud of is we never rest on our laurels. And, you know, we're always pushing ourselves. We have a paranoia in terms of benchmarking.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I have a set of performance indicators and matrices, you know, even with people and performance. And this is a discipline that's been instituted since 2009. So we watch that like a hawk. We ensure that, you know, so it's a bit of a kiasuness as well, wanting to make sure that we're always at the top of the league. And so, you know, it's self-provoked, if you like.
So these are self-imposed metrics that you've put in.
Yes.
I'd like to talk to you a bit about those metrics, Nora. If I take a look at, say, the standard efficiency metric for banks, the cost-to-income ratio of Maybank, 2016 was about 47.3%, just slightly higher than the industry average of 46.3%. Do you think that this is a good metric, a good key measure for employee performance?
It's just one. You know, it's like looking at a pilot, you know, with the aircraft's dashboard. You can't have one. Right?
Right. So it's just a broad gauge for you.
It's a very broad gauge, but it's insufficient. When it comes to people, we look at revenue per staff. We look at staff cost to income. And a whole host of other things.
All right. So looking at, say, revenue per staff, I'm looking specifically at net income per employee. And in the past few years, it's increased. It's been an upward trajectory. I'll give you an example. 462,000 in 2015. 2010, it was 300,000. Yeah. So you've done well in improving income per employee. How have you managed to do this?
Again, you know, I don't want to oversimplify it, but it's already there in terms of the abilities and capabilities. It's putting in the discipline of tracking, I think. Yeah, that's one of the key drivers. When people have the trackers visible in front of them, it rallies them, it motivates them, you know, they just want to overachieve what they achieved yesterday. That's almost like a magic wand, but that's worked for us. In the early days, we called it a tactical sales simulation, for example. Every morning, that's the first thing you look at. How did I do yesterday? How do I beat that today? So it sounds simple, but it's a discipline. And I'm happy to say that it's part of the culture already.
Is that part of your KPI to keep the, say, cost to income ratio down, make the shareholders happy?
Fortunately or unfortunately, yes. But not just me, of course. The executive committee, the group executive committee, there are 12 of us, led by, of course, our president and CEO. We share these indicators. That's one of the things that we're totally aligned with. Mm. One, we ensure that this is an institution that we're building, and we want to leave a legacy. So it's not about individuals. It's not about, you know, an individual champion. And so to your question, yes, I definitely own it. My other colleagues own it too, other exco colleagues.
Mm. Is that pressure on you to make sure that you perform every year, every quarter, make sure that number gets better and better?
It is, very much so. Well, it's not a pressure. You know, there's this saying where it is a pressure, it is a stress when you don't enjoy it. I enjoy what I do. And so, you know.
Well, if I look at a chart that has all the banks' cost-income ratios, for instance, you see that almost all the banks are banded together. And then you've got Public Bank, which is on a league of its own when it comes to cost-income ratio. Mm. What would you emulate from Public Bank in order to get that ratio down?
I think, you know, we definitely are in awe of Public Bank. You know, we have very high respect for Public Bank. Having said that, I think what they're extremely good at is frugality, innovation, right? So we do that too now. So that's the part that we really, you know, watch Public and use Public as a benchmark. But Maybank is very different. Our go-to-market strategy is different. Our operational model is different. Our ambitions are slightly different as well. Mm-hmm. So we cannot use Public Bank as, you know, the benchmark for everything that we do. It's not that we're not frugal, but we need to have frugality as well as other commitments that we've got with our different stakeholders. We take pride, in fact, that we are able to still lead the league table with all the other commitments that we have to live up to and you know, deliver. Much, much more than what Public has. And with all due respect, I love my friends in Public Bank, so okay.
Well, they're doing a good job and keeping the cost down. But okay, so Maybank has different goals that it wants to achieve.
And different commitments
okay.
as well.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the retention rate of the staff. So key retention rate in the past year since you started Leap 30 has improved from below 40% to 85% in 2015. Mm. Noura, that is a staggering improvement. Was this one of the key thrusts that you looked at when you were thinking about human capital growth in Maybank?
You know, Melissa, I'm a firm believer of when people enjoy and have fun, you know, they always do best in that state of mind. And so right from the very beginning, my strategy, the people strategy, has always been in terms of how do we give people confidence, you know, the confidence that winners have. And the aura that winners have. And we needed to build that. We need to create that. That was what we looked at initially. How do we restore confidence in our people? And that quickly, you know, then enabled them to do a lot of things.
Is that in line with the banking culture? I mean, forgive me for saying this, but, you know, it's a cutthroat world, right? It's a difficult world to be in, and often people are looking out for themselves in business. Can you merge that kind of EQ, soft approach, enjoy where you're working, with the banking culture where it is, well, where time is money?
Mm. I think it's proven again, right? We have the highest, I mean, we achieved Towers Watson's global high-performing company level, which is, you know, a global benchmark, right? In the thick of our transformation, you would think, how could that happen, right? Because people will be under a lot of stress if you look at it that way. And people are being driven, you know, almost quite rigidly, you know, and saying that these are the numbers, these are milestones, you know, you have to achieve this, you have to achieve this, and you're like, traffic light to death.
But also with transformation, there's that element of uncertainty.
That's right.
Is my job going to be secure tomorrow? Is there going to be restructuring, right?
That's right. I think all anybody wants, humans, right? All anybody wants is to know that the leaders care and that the leaders are in it together with them. And we, the Exco members, we were on the ground, literally. And, you know, we've got like 400 branches here in Malaysia, right? So amongst us, we just split our time and we just spent time on the ground. I think people understood it and they saw the authenticity, the sincerity. Mm-hmm. To your earlier question, that's the other thing that we've committed to and that binds us strongly together, in that our mission in terms of humanizing, we've chosen to actually do things the hard way.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we did some soul searching. And, you know, banks are known for, you know, removing the umbrella when it rains, when it pours, right? So now we're saying, how do we not remove the umbrella when it really pours, right? So we go out of our way to do, you know, a lot more. And that has brought the team together. People don't work for employers anymore. They don't work for companies. They work for causes. So when we talk to them about things like that, you know, that we're helping someone have a livelihood, a sustainable livelihood. We're helping someone get through a rough patch. That resonates very, very well with people. And that has directly contributed, actually, to them wanting to be in the cause and their retention rate.
I'm speaking to Noura Abdulmanaf, the Group Chief Human Capital Officer for Maybank Group. After this, we look at fintech and the future of financial services. Stay tuned to The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9. Good morning. If you've just joined us today on The Breakfast Grill, I have with me Noura Abdulmanaf, the Group Chief Human Capital Officer for Maybank Group. Noura, the threat of fintech is imminent, encroaching on the core business of banks. How would you say, looking at it from a human capital perspective, from a bank that has 40,000 employees, how would you plan for human capital needs encompassing fintech when you have to make those decisions sometimes years in advance? How do you account for the advances in technology?
I look at what's happening today resulting from digital advancements in the internet from a perspective of, what does that give us? What does that enable us versus the technology being a threat? Because actually that's shaped the current normals. And the current normals for me is the majority, is led by the majority. As you and I know, you know, Malaysia, ASEAN, the USA, millennials are majority. And so what they believe in, how they operate, it's the non-millennials that needs to now respond and understand, you know, what's normal. So from a business perspective, we focus on, so what does that mean in terms of what people need, you know, and what people want and what people expect, rather than the technology, because technology moves so fast. In order to meet the new normals, you know, the variety, the choice, the accessibility, the speed, that's what we focus on.
But when you're looking at it from a human capital perspective, and you have to train your staff who've been doing things a certain way for a certain number of years, how do you identify whether you need to hire new people, whether you need to retrain them and what kind of skills to retrain them? I find that fascinating because it means that you would have to anticipate how technology will change in the future. And can anyone do that, really?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you ask me, can we do it? Is everybody on top of it? I think it's people acknowledge and are more aware of, you know, acronyms like VUCA to describe the current world. So there is awareness, but there isn't a corresponding conviction to take action.
Do you think employees, Maybank staff, are they concerned about the future of their jobs with the rise of fintech?
We are putting fire under everybody's chairs. So everybody's aware and everybody's worried. But, you know, with, again, channeling of the conversations towards the, you know, having the right conversations in terms of what do we need to do? Instead of talking about do we have the right technology, it's about what does the customer want? If I use Uber as an example, right, it's not about re-engineering and transforming the taxi. It's focusing on what the customer needs to get from one point A to point B, and he or she wants to get to point B as fast as the person can, as comfortable as a person can, and it's probably as cheap as he or she can. Mm. Now, meet that need. That's what Uber did, right?
Right.
So that's exactly what we want to do. What is the threat that fintechs represent? Focus on that.
Well, yeah. I would have to say that fintech is crushing the information asymmetry that banks used to own. It is also cutting the cost tremendously.
Yes.
And that is really a threat to the core business model of banks. Mm. In an organization as big as Maybank, how would you ensure that you remain limber enough to respond quickly?
I don't want to sound arrogant, and neither do I want to be presumptuous. But we are very self-aware. We collaborate. We've got our own innovation center. So we do the hackathons. We partnered, for example, Samsung Pay, we were the first one to launch. Our trial Maybank to You, our most recent edition, that's really, really very fast and very easy. And so, yes, we are doing all of that, but so are other people, to your point, right? Mm. So are other people. And that's why I think what we're trying to do is find our own way and, you know, our own solution to what we think is what customers require.
I'm speaking to Nora Abdulmanaf, the Group Chief Human Capital Officer for Maybank Group. Now, recently on International Women's Day, Maybank announced that they were going to offer extended maternity leave for up to a year for eligible female employees. How did you convince management and shareholders to go for this, given that you have, I'm assuming, half of your staff would be female,
childbearing age,
exactly, female and childbearing mm-hmm. age. And that would mean a year out of work. So how did you get Maybank to agree to this?
There is a business case for this. I think it's important for human resources and for when we want to introduce anything to do with people that you equip yourself with a business case. So yes, we want mothers and families to have a choice. It's about choice as well, which is, again, the current normal. Because I don't want to give the impression that taking a year off is the right thing to do as well, right? Because there are mothers who don't want to take a year off. So I don't want them to feel like, you know, they're
pressured to.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So this is just about giving choices. And that is important for us. Coming back to, you know, it's a business case, it's an engagement tool. It makes for better performance and more committed performance. By the way, it's 3 months of full pay and then the next 3 months on half pay and the remaining 6 months on no pay with continued benefits.
So they remain an employee of Maybank at
yes,
that time. So insurance
yes.
and medical is covered.
Still runs, yeah. And no break in service. So it won't affect them in terms of, you know, anything that uses length of service.
How is their business case for Maybank? The average Malaysian Malay woman, the birth rate is about 2.6. Mm-hmm. You're talking about 2 years, maybe 3 years out of productivity at the job. How do you make a business case for that?
Okay. Because we believe that it's not the headcount numbers that matter. In fact, when you throw in a disruptor in a team, you remove two or three people. Let's say, I'm just to give you an example. And we say to the team, now, if you don't just react and you know, scream and go berserk and say, so how are the rest of us going to be having to cover the three people, right? Now, calm down and think about this. Now, coming back to digital and technology and making things fast, now do a quick review. So it's an OD intervention opportunity, right? Do a quick review, which part of these jobs can go away. And if you weather and in fact, you know, find different ways of operating for the rest of the year, think about the fact that when we declare bonus, there are fewer people to share it with. So, you know, it is something that shareholders like, teams like, performers like, and mothers are happy too. Families are happy too. So that's an example of making everybody happy.
I see how you can get people on board with that. Now, as we look to wrap up, I'd like to get your thoughts as well about how you deal with incidents that perhaps could depress morale or could affect the way employees feel about the company they're working for. Last year, for instance, there was an incident where there was a leaked list of 27 Maybank branches supposed to be closed down. How do you deal with an incident like that that could depress morale? And what are your thoughts on VSS? Maybank, I noticed, didn't participate when there was that whole slew of banks offering the voluntary separation scheme, but Maybank didn't participate.
To your first question, I actually worry when policies are not catching up with realities and current normals. because the premise for a lot of the HR policies, if we take HR policies, but it's not just HR policies, yeah. But if you just say, if we look at HR policies, the premise for a lot of these policies were things and behaviors that were really Industrial Revolution 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, not the current. And it can be very, very dangerous. Yeah, people can be fired. So I worry when we do not change policies quick enough.
How does that relate to when you say policy is not catching up with the situation? How does that relate to incidents that could depress morale?
Yeah, well, see, in mature organizations, right, in very large organizations, complex organizations, local organizations especially, the discipline policies, disciplinary policies are still quite reflective of the old ways. So work from home, flexibility in terms of coming in late, when you've actually worked 24 hours without a break prior. Now, if those policies are not updated, then people don't know how to treat these cases. So those are things that we really need to spend time on very quickly and get them current and allow people to perform at best as they can. Mm. Now, as far as retrenchment and VSS, I actually have, personally, I was known as a head cutter.
This was in the previous role,
yes,
away from me.
Yes, yes. Okay. When I was in telecommunications,
Stanchart,
mm-hmm. That's right. Everywhere I landed, I became this, you know, somehow I became this person who comes in and cleans up and either retrenches or sends people off on VSS to get to a productivity level that's required. Now, I changed very much. I did a lot of soul searching when I was in Jakarta, when I was living there for 3 years and doing the Permata Bank acquisition, where I saw a lot of poverty and, you know, just cutting 200 people whose pay was like 500,000 rupiah wasn't going to do very much for the business objectives. So it wasn't hard for me to be convinced to try different things in Maybank. So right from the very beginning, you know, I saw this coming, even at that time, it wasn't digital. It was, well, if we get this place more, you know, in a tip-top order, then you probably have two or three people that you need to redeploy or exit. So we established a career transition center right from 2009. It has evolved, right? It has evolved. And today, I'm happy to say that we're allowing people to have choices. Now, that's very important because we need to redefine what a job means. There are lesser jobs today. So I think I prefer to look at it from a ensuring somebody has sustainable livelihood. And that can be, you know, earning millions from your kitchen. So the maternity leave, for example, and the sabbatical that we have, which allows people to work. Maybank allows staff who's on sabbatical to take on another employment or start a business. It's because we want people to find a way to ensure they have sustainable livelihood. I don't want people to have to come to Maybank, come to work, because they think they have no other choices. Mm. You know, it's really quite silly, the old management fundamentals, right? When you hire someone and then you have to measure whether that person's engaged and has high morale, and then you have to engage them, spend money to get them motivated. That to me doesn't make sense, you know? So now we want to make sure that if you've always harbored an interest and you've always looked at, you know, something as the grass is greener on the other side, well, take a year off, go try it. Now, two things can happen. One, the person actually is successful and we're happy. So we part ways and the person's got a sustainable livelihood. Or scenario B, the person is not successful or finally finds that the person doesn't enjoy it, comes back to work recommitted, re-energized, you know.
So would it be fair to say that, you know, after all this, you would see VSS as your last option?
Don't get me wrong though, Melissa. I must highlight to you that we have been exiting people. And as you highlighted, there's been no noise. Because again, when we exit someone, we do it well. We make sure the person is able to, again, sustain a livelihood after.
Why do you think there's been no noise? Is it because the figure has been lower comparable to the other banks?
Actually, we've reduced, our peak was 48,000.
And so, it's at 45 now.
Yes. It's actually 44,800, if I want to be more precise.
Wow.
Yes. So it's a large number that we've released.
When was it 48,000?
It was 48 in 2011.
So this was natural attrition plus exiting?
targeted exits, yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much, Chief, for joining me on The Breakfast Grill.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Nora Abdulmanaf, the Group Chief Human Capital Officer for Maybank Group. I'm Melissa Idris for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.